beautiful singing this morning. It's good to be back with all the brothers and sisters today.
Do you want me to play the 71?
Next time we'll come back for it. Do you remember the beginning of a new school year? How that feels? The sense of excitement that's in the air as you go about your day, getting new pencils and pens, notebooks and backpacks, going to those back-to-school sales with your mom to buy clothes, finding out who your teachers will be, who will be in your class, even where you'll be sitting. There's so many things going on at once, it feels hectic, almost frenzied. Moms, does this sound familiar to you? But at the same time, there's something very good about it. Even as you rush around to get things started off on the right foot, you feel the potential and possibility for what is ahead. You know that things will be happening, you hope it will be good, and you're excited to see how it will go. Today marks the beginning of the fall season here at Providence Presbyterian Church, with all sorts of activities and opportunities. And I think there's a similar feeling at work in this place, one of hope and possibility. As you've been hearing, today will be the first of seven baptisms to be conducted in this church this month. Seven. Pastor Chris and I are excited as we focus on baptisms as the beginning of faith, as well as discipleship, the deepening of faith, for our church this month together. There are a number of new groups and possibilities starting this fall. I hope you'll check the calendar, watch for announcements, and be open to what God might be calling you to check out. There was a group in the 1990s, a sort of a Christian rock, rap, hip-hop group that I used to listen to. They were called DC Talk. Do you remember them? And they had a song that said, "You know he's doing it. God is doing a new thing. You know he's doing it.
Who's doing it?
God is doing a new thing." It was catchy. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing here today as we begin the fall together. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. God, calm our hearts and quiet our minds. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me words to speak. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture passage we read today was from Matthew chapter 3, and it told the story of how Jesus went down to John to be baptized. The title of our sermon this morning is asking a simple question. Why? Why should Jesus have been baptized by John? As we will discover in the coming weeks, the Bible contains numerous images for the practice of baptism and what it's all about. Repentance for sins, entering the community of faith, dying and rising with Christ. And yet, none of these seems to fit very easily with the example of Jesus. So today, we're going to work through some interrelated questions, all of which will help us understand why Jesus got baptized, why this might matter for us. The first question is, why would anyone in Jesus' day have been baptized? Was this something that was new or different, or was this just common practice? As it turns out, there are three main reasons that people in Jesus' day would have been baptized. First, throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, there are exhortations. Those are like commandments, for God's people to be ritually clean by washing with water. If you take a stroll through the book of Leviticus, you'll see why people of that time would have been baptized, washed, ritually, continually, even daily. By Jesus' time period, those original scriptural injunctions about washing had been expanded greatly, so that people who wanted to be extra holy or doubly good would periodically, even daily, ritually wash as a sign of being clean before God. A more familiar baptism tradition from Jesus' day was the once-and-for-all baptism, similar to the Christian baptism, of a Gentile, that means a non-Jewish person, who is converting to Judaism. Like the Christian tradition, this was done once in a lifetime and indicated that the person was entering the household of faith. So, for non-Jews who were baptized, they would be naked. Did you notice? They would be completely naked. And there's even a rule written, sort of after Jesus' time, that if so much as a little string from a piece of summer corn were stuck between the baptizant's teeth, it would invalidate the whole thing because it meant that some part of them was still covered. Some part of them was unbaptized. Interesting. The third reason someone in Jesus' day, along with being a Jew who's ritually washing, being a Gentile who's becoming a Jew without something in their teeth, the third reason someone might have been baptized in Jesus' day was that they were entering a mystery cult. In the centuries surrounding the lifetime of Jesus, there were a number of religious groups referred to as mystery cults. This refers to their mysterious nature. They worshipped at night under a cloak of darkness. No one knew their practices and procedures. They didn't have a book of order. They certainly didn't have an organ. And one of their main initiation rites into these mystery cults was baptism, usually done under the cover of darkness. Now, into this context of people being baptized comes the wild man of the script of the Gospels. His name is John the Baptizer. If he were around today, he'd be a really scary dude. He had wild hair. He made his own clothes. He ate whatever he could find. He actually kind of sounds like a RISD student. But anyway, John began baptizing people as a sign of repentance. He was a wild guy. And this baptism of repentance was different from what came before it, because he wasn't just baptizing people who were converting to Judaism, but he was calling on his own people, God's people, to repent, to have a true change of heart, and to come back to God. He was calling people to turn their hearts to God, to reorient, to follow God in their lives. He was not saying, come on down and I'll wash you up and you'll be clean for the day, and then come on back down again tomorrow and I'll do it again. The people he was baptizing, he called to have a change of life, much like a Gentile convert who would become like a new infant, a baby, fresh and new, breaking with their past and embracing a new life. So along comes Jesus, and he wants to be baptized. And John says, oh no, not you, Jesus. This is a baptism of repentance. It's for those who have to turn from their wicked ways. It's to orient themselves back to God. Not you. I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to carry your shoes. Won't you baptize me instead? Jesus looks at him and says, no. Little known fact from the Bible. Jesus never baptized anyone. Read through Scripture and you'll see that we have no accounts where Jesus is actually baptizing someone. He was baptized. He called on us to be baptized. But Jesus himself, this was not his mission. But what does it mean for Jesus to have been baptized? Why does he do it? To go through these waters? To undertake this rite? He does it as a way of making a statement. This baptism is meant to show that Jesus is all about God. Remember that before this, Jesus had not started his public ministry. He was still sort of growing and learning and preparing. But after this public way of associating himself with God, going through this baptism, that he starts his mission. He starts his work. Now this is kind of, I don't know if you're getting this idea that Jesus would have been doing this. So I want to return to a deep font of wisdom, spiritual wisdom. The movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which we've talked about before. There's so much there. Watch it again. I'll put it on the Providence Publicist email this week. In the movie, Ian is a fairly typical middle-class, Midwestern American guy. And he wants to marry Tula Portokalis. She's the daughter, a girl from a big, somewhat crazy Greek family. And Tula's family is Greek Orthodox, and it's very important to them that whoever Tula marries be part of the Greek Orthodox Church tradition. Unfortunately, this cannot happen for Ian and Tula unless he becomes a convert, unless he gets baptized into the church. And he's sort of a lapsed Episcopalian type guy. So the movie scene is great. You've got Ian, all 6'2" of him, long hair, wearing a loincloth, covered in oil, standing in this big tub, a bucket of water in the middle of the church, and he's being baptized. And although although we know conversion has a lot to do with baptism, this scene should not be read as a kind of conversion scene, I wouldn't say. Ian isn't going through all of this in order to say, I believe in the doctrines of the church. I repent of my former Protestant ways. I commit myself to this place. Instead of this, Ian's baptism seems different. He is saying, essentially, I'm with Tula. I'm going through all this because I'm with Tula, right? I love her so much. I want to spend my time with her, be oriented to her, be associated with her. Everyone who sees me do this knows I'm doing a lot because I'm with Tula. And in a similar way, Jesus' baptism could be viewed as a sign of repentance or ritual washing. But what he's really saying is, I'm with God. I want to be associated with God. I want to be about God's mission. I'm devoted to God. So Jesus gets baptized. He passes through the waters and makes this public statement. And there are many rich images of baptism in the Bible. We'll see some of them in the coming weeks. But this very strong one for us today is this. Jesus did it, and we do it. It's a connection. Not only was Jesus baptized to show that he was with God and that he was closely aligned with God's mission, but he was also baptized to show that he's with us, that he's a human. He's setting the standard. He's modeling this behavior for us who would come after him. As the famous passage from Matthew 28 shows, we are called to be disciples and to make disciples, to be baptized and to baptize. One of the common threads that runs through the history of our faith is our shared baptism. This is one of the distinguishing marks of Christian believers. We've all been baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're not only connected to each other, to one another, but to the saints who have passed before us. And not only to them, but all the way to Jesus himself. He's our model. He shows us the way. So why did Jesus get baptized, as we close? He did it to show that he was connected to God and connected to those who would follow after him. And why, might you ask, do we baptize? Because we are also connected to God. We love God. We seek to follow God in our lives. And also because baptism connects us all as the family of faith. One God above, one shared faith, and one baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you continue in worship with me as we turn again to our bulletins? And on page 14.